and his most awesome peace. Amen. And that's why when we come together, you know, God is so pleased because he knows our hearts truly belong to him. And I got to tell you something. You know, last week when we truly witnessed that miracle, you know, we were just getting ready to wrap up everything. And, you know, I just kind of, you know, told the people, if you need prayer, you know, please come on up or we can go to you. And suddenly we hear that lady, like that, and we're like, whoa, what happened, you know? And I actually thought, you know, someone got hurt or something, but then she just said, you know, Jesus told me to get up and walk, and she did. And Brother Omar right here just took her by the hand and she started taking those steps. And you know what's so interesting is one of the activities people, you know, that, you know, basically brought them down and, you know, responsible for all these activities, you know, he was telling me, he says, you know, for the longest time, the physical therapist had been trying to get her to stand, but she says she cannot because she's too weak, she's too scared, and she's too everything the devil wants her to be. But praise God, when the presence of God comes, man, expect his glory presence. You know, that scripture I just read earlier in the week, it's in Haggai 2:9, the prophet Haggai. This is what he says. He says, the latter glory, meaning the latter presence of God in the temple, will be greater than the former glory. We are in the latter times. We are in the church. So guess what? Expect the presence of God to be ever so mighty, ever so powerful. When you step into this sanctuary, expect God's hand to move. And if you have that kind of expectation every time you come in, guess what? There will be a great move by the Lord. And I'm so ecstatic, wanting to hear the message that my brother's going to preach today. Because if you take a look at it, it says the title of the sermon is Miracle Still Happens, and with faith, it will lead people to Christ. And that's what it is. Because, you know, you think about this. When the world sees all these miracles happening all over the place, you think it will catch their attention? Oh, yes, it will. And great and mighty things will take place. And, you know, we simply just show up. We simply have the faith to believe with the expectation that, God, you're going to do something awesome and wonderful. And guess what? God will do it. Because guess what? He wants to draw as many people as he can to him. Knowing that these are the latter days, that these are the last days, he wants everyone to come to know him. And if it's going to be one way to bring the people to Christ, guess what? He will do it. There's going to be great and wonderful miracles that will take place as we simply trust in him and expect these things from him. Amen? Do you believe it? If you do believe it, I got to tell you, God spoke into my spirit. He told me, you know, after we experienced that great miracle last week, you know, I like the way the Holy Spirit speaks sometimes. He actually told me, Ben, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm serious. He spoke to me those very words. You ain't seen nothing yet, child. Because I love you all so much, you ain't seen nothing yet. Praise God. I'm going to call Brother Omar to come on up, and we're going to stretch a hand towards him. Let's give a round of applause. And this is the second time he's preaching, two times in a row at this time. And praise God. But, you know, but why don't we go ahead and stretch a hand towards him. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for my Brother Omar. And I pray, Lord, as you speak through him, Father, I pray that your words will come alive. And Father, I pray that you will speak to us in such ways as your word is spoken through him, that there will be great conviction. Our hearts will be touched in such ways that we're being changed from glory to glory. We know the very fact we're becoming more like Jesus because we love your word. We embrace your word. And I pray that your word will just touch the deepest parts of our hearts so that we know, Lord, as we experience the kind of conviction you want us to experience, the very fact is the world will see that truly Jesus Christ lives in all those believers, that truly Jesus Christ reigns. So, Father, we give this time all unto you. We love you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all my brothers and sisters say,
amen. Amen. Praise God. All right.
Praise God. Praise God.
Woo. Two in a row. They say one round deserves another.
Okay, second day today. Aloha, the usual word to say, yeah? Aloha. If you take your notes here, miracle still happens, and with faith, it leads, actually, with an S there. It leads people to Christ. Unfortunately, my wife is not here. She's experiencing some back pains. I had to massage her this morning. She said, I might not be able. That's fine, hon. I wanted to show, if she was here, show some videos in our journey in Stanford. Because the title here, actually, this is a continuation of what I did last week. And if you guys weren't here, my message last week was, miracle comes from God's amazing grace and love. And I got three bullets I shared last week. The first one was, God is love. God's grace is the second one, that is gift of God and is sufficient to each one of us if we have infirmities. And this miracle that God gave is, look at the first page. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. The Lord hath done great things for us, for me and my wife and my family when we went to Stanford, giving her a new heart and a new kidney. Can you believe that? You should have seen the videos I wanted to show how she was when she had after the transplant. And then we were out, and then we were in rehab in St. Francis. The first walk she had after 4 months of 4 months sleeping without getting up. It's amazing. That's really a miracle. And the reason why I had this message now is leading to Christ. You know, in Stanford, we were able to reach out 5 people. 2 cried on us. 2 nurses cried on us and submitted themselves to Jesus Christ. One, my nephew, Stetson, to be specific, I was able to reach out to him, and he really said yes to Jesus. Is that an amen? My nephew here, last December, I just said yes. He said yes to Jesus. Amen? And I've been preaching to this guy for so many years, and God is amazing. Can you believe God is still, he has this miracle in each one of us? And if you read all my bullets here, it's about actually reaching one soul at a time. I'm going to start with, you know, sin. I put here Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Way back from the Garden of Eden, you know already what happened, Adam and Eve. You know, the trust was broken. Sin started there, and then Cain killed Abel, and then the fall. We have, if I enumerate each one of those happenings in the old in the Garden of Eden, we are all sinners. We have it when we were born, but what happened? God so gave the only begotten Son to have that broken relationship, so that we'll be back with Christ. Amen. He gave that because he died for our sins. And sin here is, look at Romans 3:23. Let's read it together. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is just really an in nature in each one of us. We are sinners, but if you have a repentant heart, God will redeem you, God will save you, and God will forgive you. Amen? Look at Isaiah 56. Let's read it. All we like sheep, yeah, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, we want to do what we want to do. That's what sin is all about. Even if it's that under, you know, not a moral law of God, we do it because we like it. That's not right. When you are a believer, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a new person. Remember that, 2 Corinthians 5:17? You let go of the past, you will be a new creation, and you have to walk the walk. And the very favorite word we always use, you change from glory to glory. Amen? So the second verse, the next verse there, see? If we did ever commit anything, there's a time that we're tempted to do some little sin, and big sin all the same. Look at James 4:7, what he says here. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can only do this if you have accepted the Lord as your Savior. If there is anyone here again right now, I asked last week. Okay, can I see again? Are you guys believers? Let me see your hands. Come on. So nobody. I don't need to preach now because everybody is saved here. I gotta end up, and I know I gotta finish this. This is what the Lord has given me. So, giving you the ins and outs, or the 101 of how we will reach one soul at a time. Amen. Because I myself, I've been really doing my best wherever I go. I go to the YMCA. My friends know me, who am I there. Because I just sit down the corner, have my Bible, blah, blah, blah. They like to invite me to play. Go, I've done my, I've already, deep in my heart, I already know I had my exercise. Because I go there not for playing physically with all these people who are maka-maka, you know. They even use bad words when you play and you don't make it right. So something like that. But again, with the rest of these bullets that I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you who are we going to preach, where are we going to preach, and then what are we going to preach about? What here? Let me see. Who? I have everything here. Who, where, why, when, and how are we going to preach? Okay? The first one is, who is called to go into the world and preach the gospel? Do you know that by any chance? The bullet here is, you are. Anyone is able to really preach the gospel. Again, as long as you have your Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you believe that you are the Son of, the children of God, and you believe that you're walking the walk, you can actually preach the gospel. Look at Matthew 28:19-20. Let's read it together. Let's go. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. Amen. So, I think, Brother April, usually we do baptism on April every year. I think my nephew is ready. He's going to be one on the list, bro. He said he's going to sign up. I even told him that you don't have to wait for April. If you want to be baptized now, we can specially have a special baptism. This is just an expression of it, of your, you know, heart that you give yourself to Jesus, an outward expression. Amen. So the second verse there that I put in there, Proverbs. Look at this. I love Proverbs reading every day. Proverbs 11:30 New King James Version. That's what I'm using. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And look at this. And he who wins soul is wise. That's not sin. That's wins. I'm sorry about that. Typical error. Brother, we missed this, huh?
Not my fault.
No, it's, you know what? That's why the devil is so very, he got me there, man. Look, rebuke the devil. That's not sin, that wins. In life, yeah, we always miss a little of this and that, right? That's why the devil's scheme is really very crafty, you know. Just one letter. Look at that. Instead of wins, he put sins there. So that's why we ex-Christians, we better be careful, because the devil is always on our back. Yeah, you know what I mean? He is always there. He's going to see your weakness. Maybe that's my weakness. I've typed it wrong. I give it to Pastor Ben. And I don't want to blame you, Pastor Ben. You didn't see it? You just typed it? Praise God. Look at that. But I was so happy to say, win soul. Oh, sin soul, man. Crazy. Rebuke Satan. The next one is Daniel 12:13, New King James also. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of a firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars are forever and ever. Can you believe that? We guys are all, man, stars forever and ever. We shine. Remember the song, shine, Jesus, shine. We have to shine our light out there. And we're going to get to the bottom of this message that later on we get to go fishing. But fishing, man, not fish, yeah? So the second one is, where are we to preach the gospel? Do you have any idea? There you go. Everywhere. That's the blank there. Everywhere, because the Mark 16:15 says here, and he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the bottom here, the how are we preached, I'm going to talk to you about the Samaritan woman preached by Jesus Christ. We are to preach everywhere. That's why, as I told you, when I go to YMCA, when I even go to Costco, to all on Max, and then I just see there's a style in evangelization. We're not gonna push, because if you push, and you always and you open right away. Oh, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah. Oh, you see like this? Oh, you gotta read the Bible. No, that's not the way how to do it. You have to find the niche, the weakness. You gotta befriend this guy first, and maybe it's not gonna happen that instant. You might see him the next time. You might see him next week, and maybe you just plant a seed, and then let. Oh, it's part here. We are not the ones who convert people, guys. It's God. An incident, I forget to acknowledge the greatest evangelist. He passed away 2 days ago. My goodness, this guy is the most, I don't know what how to say. 1 year shy of his 100 years old. He's 97, yeah? I'm 99. He started first in 1937. He was only a student, 19 years old. That was his first preaching at the Baptist church. Only student at 19 years old. That means he up to now, he passed away 2 days ago. He was ministering for 84 years. Can we do that? Since 1937. He started, he preached when he was just a student, first preaching in a church. And then he went to seminary. I got all his facts here, but I need to elaborate. So 1937, he started preaching. Wow. Anyways, bless his soul. He has reached so many millions throughout this world. And there, I think today I read that the son, Franklin Graham, is moving him to another area. And then I think the funeral is on March 3. I read before early morning. But anyways, praise God for this soul of this man who has impacted so many millions, including me. I have so many books of him. And one of my favorite is this, The Secret of Happiness, which is the 8 Beatitudes. I think I'm going to preach one of this, because right now the best Beatitudes for him right now is, blessed are those who mourn, the Graham families, for they shall be comforted. Blessed, Billy Graham says, it's not blessed, but happy. Happy are those who mourn, or the happy are those who are poor in spirit, the first one, for there's the kingdom of God. There's 8 Beatitudes if you read the Bible, Matthew 5, from, 3 to 10. So anyways, bless his soul. So we continue. Where are you now? I might get lost. Okay. We are on the third bullet, yeah? Why are we to preach the gospel? Do you have an idea why? To save again the lost. That we just sung. We were all once lost, and now we're saved. Amen? We are now saved. We are now found by Jesus Christ. We have to save people from not heaven. The other one is hell. We have. 1 Corinthians 1:20 to 21 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? If you're too wise and you use it for wrong things, For since is the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, is pleased God through the foolishness of this message, preached to save those who believe. See that? Preached to save those who believe. Amen? So we have to preach and look for the lost people out there. There are so many. In fact, my bottom line here says that the harvests are plenty. But we workers are just so few. Again, this is a very small church, but I believe in my heart that we are a great, small but with a great heart church. Amen. I like it the way as we have, as small as we are, because our accountability is so strong. big churches, mega churches. Again, break it down to small churches like this. Okay, the next one here, when are we to preach the gospel? Do you have any idea when? Anytime, perfect. All the time, whenever possible. And 2 Timothy here, Paul is the one talking here. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all suffering and teaching. Amen? That is why, how we will, you know, reach out the world anytime, anywhere, whenever. It could be anytime, whenever. The next one is, we are to preach, how are we to preach the gospel? How? How do you think? We need to go where people are. I'm going to read to you this one. This is a story in John, you know, when Jesus went to Samaria. Look at this. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed, watch this, he needed to go through Samaria. You know why? Okay, let's continue. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat by the well. It was about 6 hours, maybe 12 o'clock our time, whatever. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you know the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." You know, if you know the traditions way back in the olden days, the Samaritans are Hebrews, you know. Some of them, they're Hebrews, but they intermarried with other culture. So the Jews hated them so much that they wouldn't not even go close to them or go that route to Samaria. So, but what? Why did Jesus go there? Again, this is just an example of Jesus goes to any place. Us, we should go to any place that's there's no the unbelievers. Even even in the Gentiles, the Jews are not fond of Gentiles because there are Jews that don't believe in Christ. They are the Orthodox, the Hasidic Jews. Yeah, they only believe in Moses. So anyways, on this case, it's an illustration of how God can go to reach out people that those who don't believe in their culture or something. Oh, we in the Bible, we hear that God has a hard time reaching out his own family. But look at this. He went out of the way. That's why how we preach, we need to go to where people are there that needs Jesus. Amen? This is an illustration of this a verse here that, hey, Jesus did it. He's an example of a great communicator and evangelist. He's an evangelist. He went out all the way. Even, you know, yeah, to the extent of reaching the Samaritan woman. And, you know, the Jews before, they don't even respect women, you know. They are maka-maka. Women don't preach, something like that. Or I don't know. But anyways, that's how we should preach. No limitations to where people are. We have to be there. If our presence is needed, if our help is needed to reach them out and win their soul. Okay, remember, we cannot convert them. We can plant the seed, but God is the answer. He's the one who's going to do the final, you know, thing. It may take 1, 2, 3 years. I have so many I could mention. Way back in the Philippines, I planted friends like this and that, and lo and behold, I heard some of them accepted Christ. It took someone for them to be able to know Christ. Because, again, we just here to go out and then share the word and leave it up unto God to do the watering and the growing. Amen? That's how we should do it. The bottom verse is here. Then he's Luke 10:12. Look at this. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Again, we're a small church, but we are capable of going out there in the open and start fishing men, not fish. Yeah? You have to fish again. Before, I remember Carl. We have reached out, you know, minister here, but sadly, unfortunately, Carl is not here. I pray that probably someday, somehow, maybe me or Pastor Ben or somebody here will step up and we'll do the outreach ministry again of reaching out one soul at a time out there in the open. We'll probably do that, you know, trucks ministry, just, you know. And that's one way of reaching out. We can grow. We can grow. Especially we're still praying again for the building. Maybe we'll be able to move because we've been here for some time. And news are that this place will be sold, brother. Something. So we won't be here for this long time this year. God will provide where are we going to be. And hopefully Grant and Mick can play the piano together. We have a blessed pianist that can read notes. I don't read notes. God has gifted me with playing by ear. That's a blessing. Anyways, again, the other verse, which is similar to the one I just read, Luke 10:22, Matthew 9:38 says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And the one there, the last one here is Matthew 4:18-19. Let's read this. Come on. Let it go. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Amen? I will make you fishers of men. I think I have, you know, I have so many notes, I never even read it. But anyways, so are you guys ready to go fishing? Because sharing is like going fishing, as the Lord says. You know, it's just here. You know, when you fish, oh, man, you got to be patient. Yeah, when we're fishing, the fishermen are so patient fishing there out in the ocean, right? You have to be very patient, and you have to keep on trying. Oh, you can't get it. Oh, reach out another one. And the third one, you have to wait. Remember, wait in his time. Wait upon the Lord. Be still and know that he is God. Again, as I told you, you cannot convert this person to Christ. You are not the one. It's God's. Okay, Billy Graham, he was in an airplane one occasion. And this drunkard guy, in a very feisty guy, wanted to talk to him. He wanted to meet him. He was yelling at the flight stewardess. And, of course, it's not as easy that you move and you know. You know what? Billy heard this guy. So what he did, he went to him, you know. And drunk, he's drunk. He went to him and said, hi, I'm Billy Graham. Oh, thank you, Billy. You know what? He said, I'm one of your converts. Woo. He said that, I'm one of your converts, but he was drunk and he was feisty. And Billy said, wow, I think he's one of my converts, not the Lord's. Did you get it? He did. He was his convert, but not the Lord's, because the Lord is the one that's going to convert, not Billy. Remember that? You get the point? We are only to plant a seed. You can never be the one that changed that guy. Even my nephew here, I'm not the one. I was just used by God, a vessel. I showed him, hey, this is the way to do things right in life. Because I am blessed. I even don't know that I'm here preaching to you guys. I told my, again, I think I told you about this uncle of mine. He passed away now. He's kind of like the Billy Graham evangelist of the Philippines, because I was raised as a Protestant. I'm not Catholic. I never been Catholic. I went to church. Yeah, you know, life is like life astray. We were humans. No, we don't want to use that. That's not an excuse, brother. Yeah, yeah. But again, Manong Eli said that, hey, you can preach someday somehow. because you have so many of these books, blah blah blah. No, uncle, I'm just a lowly musician. I lead the worship in the church. No, I think you can. But I can't imagine. I'm sharing it to you guys right now. Is that an amazing grace and a miracle that I don't know? Brother, why did you put me in here, bro? No, God. I'm just joking, bro. But anyways, praise God. I think I'm done. But I have so many points, you know, that I haven't talked to you, but it's next time. Look at this. Plenty, but I finished my, I think I got my point. Yeah? Look at this point here. We'll go back. Who is called to preach into this world? All of us, right? Any one of us. Right now, because we are all, be equipped though. The thing is, we have to read the Bible every day as much as possible. Do devotions, because you cannot share. When you say, read it out of seasons, where is that? Did I have that, brother? Which part is that? Oh, I think I missed that. Oh, here. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Look at that. You cannot do that, not unless you start pondering the Bible, talking to God every day, every moment of the day. You open your eyes. Lord, thank you. What can I do today? What difference can I do today? I do that. I just praise God. Oh, I'm still breathing, Lord. I use my CPAP. Oh, I'm still alive. Wake up in the morning. It's amazing. When we wake up in the morning, my favorite verse is Lamentations 3:22-23. That's one of those. There's a lot. There's so many scriptures that you can, you know, share that the Lord's grace and love is so is compassionate to us. It never fails. They're new every morning we wake up. Great is thy. What's that? You guys know? Great is thy. Is his faithfulness. Amen. I think I'm done, brother. Yeah? Are we ready again to go fishing? We can, yeah? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for the word, my brother. And yeah, we realize, you know, we got a lot of work to do. Because, you know, there's so many people that need Jesus. And they may not even know it, but yeah, they're lost. They're spiritually lost. And it's really up to us. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to talk about Jesus? Who's going to boast about the goodness of God if we don't do it? We got to be the ones that, yes, Lord, send me out there. Because as you are with me, you will give me the words to say, and I will find the strength through you to do what you call me to do. Amen? And that's where you're going to see great and mighty works that will come from the Lord through your life. That's what it takes. It takes your willingness to say, yes, Lord, whatever you ask, I will do it. And, you know, I know this is something I have already mentioned in my previous sermons and, you know, in a couple of my Bible lessons. But, you know, it's worth mentioning again, you know. You probably heard, like, a couple of weeks ago on this talk show called The View, right? You probably heard me talk about it. You know, the very fact is one of the hostesses, you know, kind of heard what Vice President Mike Pence, what he said about his relationship with God is like. And the very fact he says, you know, he hears from God. Okay? Is that such a bad thing? No, because here's the thing, right? She said in the show, she says, it's one thing to talk to God, but if you say you hear from God, then you might be mentally ill. Wow. When you hear that, you go, what? Wait a minute. If you're a true believer, we all know we hear from God, don't we? So are we all mentally ill? And here's the thing, right? Because the world will not understand this. But, you know, we don't look at her and go, oh, what's your problem, lady, right? No, we pray for her that she will come to know Jesus Christ. Because, you know, the very fact is she is lost. She's spiritually lost. And she needs a Savior. And we are to be the ones to tell her the good news about the gospel of Christ. And I love it. You know, Vice President Mike Pence, he was in an interview and he was kind of asked about that, right? And, you know, I like that guy because, you know, he's so gracious. And you know, he kind of just said, you know, I'm going to tell you something. It's a shame, you know, that she had to say something like that. But it's not about me. The very fact is, in America, there's millions and millions of Christians. And to say that we're mentally ill, oh, man, that's disheartening. But we realize, you know, she needs Jesus. And that's why we are to tell the world, yeah, Jesus lives in me. And I hope I'm a good representation of Jesus, because the world that are watching how we live, you know, a lot of times their decision to receive Christ will based upon the fact that we're living well for Christ, that we're living according to the words of Jesus Christ. Amen. And, you know, here's the thing. Joy, well, I'm going to tell you now, it was Joy Behar, right, that made that comment. And she now felt like she may need to make a rebuttal. So on her show, she kind of said, oh, I don't understand why, you know, Mike Pence had to, you know, come back and say those things. And this is what she said. She says, you know, you got to understand something here. I'm a Christian too. Don't you realize I give a lot of money to help the poor, the needy, and Christians to do their work? And you kind of had to think about that. Is that what defines us as a Christian? By the things, you know, so much that we contribute to others, that we go to church. I mean, is that enough? Well, I want to read to you what it says here in this scripture here. Matthew 7, 15 to 16. It says here, beware of these false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves, and you will know them by their fruits. So what is Jesus saying here about the fruits, that you shall know them by the fruits? Well, simply put, you know what it means? The fruits are the things that we say and the things that we do out in the open, out in the community for the whole world to see. Those are our fruits. They will know us as true Christians by the way we live. Amen. And if we live according to the word of God, they're going to go, wow, this guy is bearing true fruit, right? This guy is really living according to what he preaches. This person is really living according to what he believes about what the gospel says. And the question is, are we bearing good fruit? Because you know what? This is the only way the world will come to know Jesus Christ. They will see that we are authentic, that we truly have the love of Christ inside of us. Amen? And as they see this, I got to tell you, I guarantee you, they will want to know more about your faith. It's because you are authentic about what you believe. Amen to that? Why don't we go ahead? Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Let's come before our Father God. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the word spoken today to my brother Omar. And Father, as my brother had said, we are called to be fisher of men. But Father, in order to really hook them up with the kingdom of God, we know, Lord, we got to show them that truly Jesus Christ lives inside of us. And it is by how we live. It's by the words we say. Do we show kindness? Do we show love that is exemplary of Christ? Because if not, they may reject the word. They may not want have anything to do with Christianity because we are not authentic. Because they may see us as hypocrites. Father, I ask you, will you help us, Lord? And I know I need help, Father, because I can't live the life you called us to live without your help. And we must stay connected to the vine. And we know the vine is Jesus. We are just the branches. But when we're fully connected to you, Lord, we know you're going to do great and mighty things through us. And the world will truly see that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master. And now with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you're saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realize this as I listen to the message spoken through Elder Omar, that I got to live a life that is true to Jesus. And from this day forward, I'm going to see to it that my life will be a very good representation of the very word of God. And I have to tell you, if you are desperate for God, if you ask him for help, he will help you to become more like his son, Jesus. And if this is the cry of your heart right now, you're saying, Lord, that is me. Oh, help me, Lord, because I want the whole world to know that Jesus lives inside of me. If that's the cry of your heart right now, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Hallelujah. Anyone else saying, that is my heart, Lord. Help me, Father. Help me, Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those very hands. These very hearts that are crying out to you, Lord. Oh, please help me, Lord, to be more and more like your son, Jesus. And we pray, Father, as we get so deep in your word, as your word speaks to us, we know we are drawn so close to your very heart. And we're going to choose to live according to your word. And that is the only way that we will become more like Jesus, because Jesus is the living word. Father, I pray, Lord, just for your Holy Spirit's anointing upon us right now. Father, will you just fill this entire room, Lord, with your holy and sweet loving presence? Oh, let your presence be magnified as we decrease, Father. May you increase in every way, because our hearts are fully submitted to you, because we love you. We want to honor you. We want to praise you in every single area of our lives. Father, we come with our hearts fully humbled before you, and we are just expecting great and mighty things to come forth from our lives as we live a life that is truly true to you. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. Now, for some of you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard the word of God. And I know, Lord, that many people have told me I can have a personal relationship with Father God, with his son Jesus. But what must I do? How do I get started in something like this? I never done this before. Well, you can start off by praying this simple prayer, but it must come from your heart. And if you feel like there's a tugging going on in your heart, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, these feelings are real. It's the Holy Spirit saying, yes, child, it's about time you make a decision to receive Christ into your heart. This is the only way that he will welcome you into the family of believers. It's when you make a choice, a decision to receive Christ into your heart. And if this is your heart right now saying, Lord, that is me. I want you to come in. I invite you to come in. Show me how to live according to your word. If this is the cry of your heart right now, can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me. Hallelujah. Anyone else saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus, I receive you into my life and into my heart. Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise God. All right. All right. You put your hands down. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Won't you pray this prayer with me? Pray it out loud. Let's pray together as a family, professing what we believe about our Lord Jesus Christ. Just repeat these very words. Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives inside of my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. And make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, so everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil will know that Jesus Christ is my Lord, that I live for him. I live for him only. Father God, I thank you, for you have written my name in your Lamb's Book of Life. I give you all the praises. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen.